You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the live post-game podcast, the live postcast of Locked On Wolves following the Timberwolves' amazing, historic, I guess, I don't know, whatever adjective you want to use, collapse to the Memphis Grizzlies in Game 3. I'm here with Chilanga from Zone Coverage and C&D NBA podcast. Chilanga, thoughts? Where do you want to start?
I mean, so I want to start. I actually just wrote about Chris Finch coming back in Game 3 and sort of seeing like how he would, counter Taylor Jenkins. And I wrote a lot about 2017-18, the Jimmy Butler year, and thinking about how exciting it was when the series came back home against the Rockets and the Wolves pulled one out behind Jimmy Butler's 28 points and the series was 2-1. And then the next game, the Rockets had that 50-point quarter and the Wolves just had like a really epic collapse. And I was hoping that something like that didn't happen again. And lo and behold, here we are, just a total meltdown at the end there.
Yeah, well, and really multiple meltdowns, right? I mean, the Timberwolves led by as many as 26 early in the second quarter, and it was down to 7 at halftime. And then they got back up by, I think it was 22 or something like that, in midway through the third. 16 at the start of the fourth, you could kind of feel it maybe starting to slip, but it's like, nah, it's not going to happen again. Multiple 20-point, I haven't seen anybody throw out this stat yet, but there has to be a stat about multiple 20-plus point leads lost in a game, or certainly like one each half or something like that. I don't know that that's happened before. I don't think it could have possibly happened before. It's just, there aren't enough, like I don't know what other qualifiers to put on this or like how to explain it away. You mentioned Chris Finch. I think we could start there. He came into this game making some great adjustments. The Timberwolves did a lot of things. I had all these notes from the first quarter and the second quarter because of all the adjustments the Wolves made and how well they played. And it kind of all went out the window, but I think we can start there because the Wolves came into this game with a plan. They were doing things differently. They had Jared Vanderbilt guarding Dylan Brooks. They're kind of hiding D'Angelo Russell. He was, the Grizzlies adjusted by starting Kyle Anderson. D'Lo was effectively guarding Kyle Anderson in the half court. The Timberwolves clearly said, hey, we know Ja Morant can't guard Patrick Beverley one-on-one. Let's just run the offense through Patrick Beverley and see what happens. And it obviously worked extremely well. The Timberwolves built a massive lead that extended midway through the second quarter until they started to kind of fall apart. So Chris Finch started the game on a super high note. And then as the game went on, the adjustments that Memphis made, which I don't know that they really made any true on-court adjustments other than the rotation starting the second half with Brandon Clark in the front court. But I mean, the fourth quarter, a lot has been said already on Twitter about the lack of timeouts being called. Did you get a chance to listen to Chris Finch post-game in the press conference, Chilanga?
Yeah, he addressed the timeout issue. And I mean, he burned a lot early. He lost the challenge in the first half too. And, he didn't want to have to use all his timeouts. And so he didn't have any left at the end because I mean, one thing that he loves to do a timeout right before the net mark in the fourth. Mm-hmm. He likes to be able to go in and have that use it or lose it timeout just to like reset the team and get them going. And so I think it, as difficult as it was very textbook Chris Finch to let them run like that.
Yeah. And, I don't know. Cause I mean, he also burned one on the Anthony Edwards, when he got kneed in the thigh, that was first half as well. So a couple of those, he went into halftime with not as many timeouts as he typically want to have. That certainly was part of it. Two separate first half was a 15-0 Memphis run. Then it was a 21-0 run for Memphis that spanned the early third into the fourth quarter. That actually ballooned into what became a 50-16 or 50-15 run that included a 37. There's all these numbers floating around of how crazy this run was. Yep. It's basically the last 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah. It was, I mean, you could just feel the energy in the arena after every Memphis bucket, every Memphis trip to the free throw line, every clanked bucket by the Wolves. It just like slowly died down. I mean, I think though, just to bring it back to your point is that Finch did make good adjustments, but at the end of the day, like I think that it's about time we talk about Karl Anthony Towns and his, what do you take? Four shots this game?
Yep. Four shots.
That can't happen if the Wolves expect to win this series, regardless of how Memphis is guarding him. Four shots?
Yeah, let's talk about Tons next. First, I want to talk about our friends over at BetOnline.net. The Timberwolves, by the way, coming into this game, were 2-point underdogs at home. And I mean, I don't know. I thought that line was a little crazy, but I mean, a lot of folks, it depending on where you look, it was around 2 points, and it looked crazy for good chunks of this game. It turned out it was not a bad line. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sport info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the basketball playoffs, the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. You can head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So you mentioned Karl Anthony Towns, Chilenga. You're right. He attempted 4 shots in this game, which is just insane. And yes, he was in some foul trouble, but that didn't really crop up in a major way until the third quarter. He picked up his second late in the second quarter on kind of a silly play, if I remember correctly. And it was like, oh, you know, be cautious, pull him. Finch pulled him at the end of the second quarter. And then he got into some foul trouble in the third and early fourth quarter, but he still played 33 minutes and only shot the ball 4 times. From your perspective, is this more on the game plan? Is it on Towns? Is it the way that Memphis defended him? Where do you assign that, I guess, blame regarding Towns' lack of shot attempts?
I mean, Memphis did guard him very well. Like, let's give them credit where credit is due. They executed their defensive game plan against Towns like to a T. And they said, oh, okay, if Patrick Beverly is going to beat us, so be it, you know? Yep. And so it was like hitting him hard before he touched the paint, you know, doubling, bringing the hard double as soon as he touched the ball, making him make really quick decisions, you know, and most of the time he wouldn't even get the ball because they were being so physical with him, like the second that he tried to post up. And so I was a little bit disappointed to not see him try more perimeter creation. I feel like he really yep. didn't touch the ball in the perimeter very much.
Yep.
There was one play in the fourth. He got a long 2 over Brandon Clark, who was guarding him one-on-one because he wasn't close enough for the double to come. Mm-hmm. And he just lifted up because he was being guarded by shorter defenders all night. And so I feel like there was some frustration and he got caught trying to post up and trying to, you know, play that way when that's what Memphis wanted him to do.
Yeah, I agree 100% with what you said about him not getting the ball on the perimeter enough. He should have been on the perimeter creating for himself and others in face-up situations, even with smaller defenders on him. I said on the Lockdown Wolves podcast on Thursday that I thought if the Grizzlies did play small and they didn't put Steven Adams on the floor, which is exactly what happened, the Wolves could play him in the post more and just go fast when the doubles came. And there were some times where that worked early in the mm-hmm. first quarter. In the third quarter, there were a couple of those plays where Towns was doubled. He kicked the ball to the perimeter. They swung the ball around the perimeter, sometimes through, you know, a Jaden McDaniels or whoever flashing to the free throw line in the middle of the defense. And it was effective, but too often they didn't go fast enough. And Towns didn't always make the right read either. But to your point, he didn't get the ball on the perimeter enough. And that's where he does so much damage. And he's so good putting the ball on the floor and so versatile. He just didn't do that in this game. And the Grizzlies kind of called the Timberwolves bluff when it came to Patrick Beverley initiating offense. Pat Bev did great in the first quarter, but then, and also D'Angelo Russell, we should mention, had a great first quarter. He had 20 points, I think, by halftime, if I'm not mistaken. And both D'Lo and Pat Bev were doing great, you know, in terms of penetrating, getting into the teeth of the defense, creating, and that just kind of stopped. You know, credit to Memphis's defense, but they just stopped being as effective doing that in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, quick before we move on from Towns, I do want to give him credit because I thought he actually played really, really great defense tonight.
Yeah.
You know, he had 5 blocks, but I mean, 3 of his fouls came on the offensive end. So he, mm-hmm. you know, he was playing under control defensively. He was making the right rotations. He wasn't over aggressive on the pick and roll coverage. I thought it was like actually one of the better defensive games by Karl Anthony Towns that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, the first half, he was legitimately great on defense. Really the entire first half till he picked up that silly foul at the end of the second quarter. He was really, really good switching on the perimeter, getting into a stance, you know, showing and slowing down Ja Morant, recovering and getting back, blocking shots, guarding the rim. It was a really strong first half from Towns from a defensive perspective. They just could not get him going on offense. All right, final thoughts next. And, you know, where do we go from here? First, though, let's talk about our friends at Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar before, it's the best protein bar you're ever going to have. They have Built Puffs, which are protein-infused marshmallows. They're fluffy. They're delicious. There's tons of fantastic flavors. They're typically only about 130 calories per bar, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein, which is about half as many calories as you'll find in your typical candy bar. Built Bar is all about the taste. They make them tastelicious first, and then they figure out how to make them healthy. And I don't know how they do it, but they pull it off every single time. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right. Final thoughts for me. Obviously this is deflating. There were a lot of reports out there. Chris Haynes on TNT was talking about how the Timberwolves locker room was quiet after game two, after the loss in Memphis on Tuesday, that that's what they needed. They were a little more reserved. They were prepared for this game, et cetera. Where do the Timberwolves go from here? I think from a basketball perspective, if we're talking, you know, there's plenty of time to break this down further, but I think the Wolves need to figure out, obviously, this should go without saying, a way to get Towns more involved, to do basically what they did in this game, but run more action for Towns, run more. And they did this in game two, by the way. They ran some stuff for Towns off of pin downs, off of curl screens to get him jumpers, to get him the ball on the move, where Memphis simply couldn't catch up with him, even when it wasn't Steven Adams, even when it was Xavier Tillman or Brandon Clark guarding him. I think they need to do more of that. I mean, basketball perspective, from a psyche perspective, what do you think, Chilenga, regarding game three on Saturday?
Well, I think too, I want to see Anthony Edwards come out a little bit more aggressively. I felt like he was very passive in the first half. There were a few times where he got switched on to Ja Morant and would dribble a couple times. I know he tried to back Ja Morant down one time, and it was just surprising to see him not attack that matchup when it was there. And so, you know, I know he did knock his knee, but that, you know, a lot of that was happening before that as well. So, you know, I look for him to come out more aggressive and attack those switches, get to the basket right away, and have a bounce back game that, you know, after game one, we were singing his praises, and he sort of has struggled since then. So I'd like to see him bounce back.
Yeah, he hasn't had those defining moments that that we kind of wanted to see after game one, right? Like Timberwolves fans, I said this after game one, we weren't surprised by the game he had in game one because he rises to the moment. And it's almost like he hasn't quite understood that games two and three are also that moment, right? Like the playoffs are his moment. It wasn't just game one. People are still watching these games, and you have to win them to keep playing them. And I know he knows that, but like to actually bring it to that level, because you're right. In the first half, he wasn't, even before he got, you know, digged up a little bit, he just, the urgency wasn't quite there, other than a couple of ill-advised pull-up jumpers, which we see a couple of those a game from him, you know, trying to shoot rhythm threes when he's not really in a rhythm type of a thing. You're right. That's kind of what we saw from him. From a psyche perspective, I mean, the Timberwolves just, obviously they have to have this game. That's beyond obvious. But it's also like, if we come out and punch them in the mouth and go up 20 plus, what this is going to be in the back of their mind, right? So they have to know they have to bring it for 48 minutes. Otherwise this thing's over. It really is. Of course, if you come out of Minnesota with a split, I mean, you're right. Then it becomes a 3-game series and you're basically back to square one, which is not a bad place to be. And we said the same thing after they collapsed in game two in Memphis. But I think that that's definitely true, that you can still come out of this feeling okay if you can have a good game Saturday. It's just so hard to see that right now beyond this miserable showing in game three. Any last words?
Absolutely. You know what? The fans are going to show up on Saturday. It's a late game. And so I expect the crowd to be a little extra rowdy. Yeah. And so, like, the Wolves got the fans. They just got to show up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I have an okay feeling about Saturday. I may feel better, you know, a day and a half removed from this one. But all right, we'll have a post-game podcast tonight on the Lockdown Wolves feed. And of course, we go live on the Lockdown Sports Minnesota YouTube channel following every game. I'm here. By the way, this is with Chilenga, and Chilenga is with Zone Coverage and the CND NBA podcast. We'll be back on Saturday. Be sure to subscribe to Lockdown Wolves and check out the CND NBA podcast as well.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Peace.
Thanks.